Like
totally A, dude. I don't know what you'd say for like Velma, like just A and then jinkies.
Jinkies, like A. If you take the refraction of the air, you would get A.
Anyway, welcome back, dudes.
Is that who's that? Is that
that's just like Fred? low effort Shaggy.
Low effort Shaggy.
I just didn't do the voice. Yeah, it could be Fred.
Yeah, that's Fred.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Bad From Good, the podcast where we look at poorly made My name is Declan.
And I'm Aiden.
Raiden.
Ruby. Today, following the theme of last week's episode, we are looking at... That turned into a really weirdly sinister Scooby laugh. We'll be looking at Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed. but before we get into that, Aiden, why don't you tell us what is wrecking this week?
Like Jesus Christ, Scoops. Fucking, this is an article from Time Out. No.
Yeah, no. Commit.
No, I can't. It would be so awful.
Do the whole thing in that voice.
This is an article. No, I just can't. I can't. I'm not committed enough. Dream job alert. Let me get the
Ayo?
The dream job alert siren. Woo, 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 woo.
Dream
job alert.
Are you going to tell us about the job?
No. You can get paid to dress up as Shrek. Forget the 9-to-5. Forget the trundle of the morning commute. Forget the corporate life. Although I would argue that this job has all of those. But anyway, it's time to embrace your inner grump and rehearse your best bellow of, "What are you doing in my swamp?" That's because Merlin Entertainment is looking to hire a mascot for Shrek's adventure in London. In other words, you can get paid to dress up as the Grouchy Green legend himself. What's more is the job is just... description is pretty simple. All you need to have is a flair for improvisation, a team-spirited personality, and to be prepared to work flexible hours. They're like, oh, and you have to work 14-hour shifts 5 days a week. You also got to be between 6'1" and 6'4", and of course have plenty of layers. Shrek's adventure entails a plethora of live shows with visits to the Swamp, Farquaad's Dungeon, and the Poison Apple Pub all on the agenda. The role involves providing elite interaction for visitors and being a fun presence at meet and greet points. Shrek is a film. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, do you want to hear some benefits? It doesn't say how much you get paid, unfortunately. But it does say... These are some benefits that are being thrown in. Discounts on cinema tickets, shops, and restaurants, as well as at all Merlin hotels all over the world, are just some of the perks of the job. Merchant Malik Pass included too, so you'll have free tickets to attractions for you, your family, and your friends. Apply with your CV here. So if you just bear with me... I'm just going to click this link and apply to a...
Damn, we're going to lose him.
right, so...
Although, I guess Aiden, we could just...
last name. Spoilers. I did click on the link and it said this job is not available.
I don't know where this article is from.
In such high demand. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
Well, I suppose it's a good... It might be a good segue, talking about you heading off and leaving, to just bring up the... I was going to joke and say the elephant in the room, but it's not like it's a big elephant in the room kind of deal. What number episode are we on now?
86.
We must be almost, yeah, almost nearing that 90 mark.
87.
Yeah, so it will be the countdown for us now until we get to 100 episodes.
100.
I was trying to do like an echoey thing there. I don't know what that was. But Aiden, for some reason, out of the blue, just decided yesterday. No, it's been in the pipeline for a while. Aiden is going to be heading off and doing a little bit of traveling and yes. You know, just going and doing some crazy shit. And we have decided that what we want to try and do is get to 100 episodes, get that fatty triple digi, yes, on the podcast, and then we shall say farewell, farewell. Least for now.
Yeah, at least for a while.
At some point, if we really, really miss it and we want to come back and pick it back up again at some point down the line, then it's easy to do. We can just do that.
We just pick up again. Or keep an eye out and start something else out, new podcast or new project or whatever we're doing.
Or something. Might leave on a high. Leave while we're good. Yeah. You know? while we're popular.
That's a good one.
We'll be doing 100 episodes. And that will be that.
Yeah. So fair warning. Get your shit together. Get your affairs in order.
Yeah.
Leave it.
You're saying this to me.
Yeah.
I can get my shit together.
Get your shit together.
I'm posting these memes.
You're coming with me.
Hey, I'm coming with you. Hey. I love that. No, I'm not. I'm definitely staying here. But anyway, that aside, and Shrekking aside, Wrecking aside.
Wrecking?
This week, as I said. This week, as I said, we watched Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed on Amazon Prime. Who are the real bloody monsters, you know what I'm saying?
Bloody Jeff Bezos, bloody monster.
Here's the man behind the mask. Which describes it as, the gang from Mystery Inc. is riding high as the focus of the first exhibit at the new Coulsonian Criminology Museum. But as they and Scooby-Doo are basking in the spotlight, their past comes back to haunt them. The villains the team has unmasked have returned. But who is behind this dastardly deed? I kind of ended up like Matt Barry there. Who is behind this dastardly deed?
You've been watching too much
What We Do. Wait, there's no more now because we've caught up with like everything that's coming out. So, what a real shame.
What a real shame that is.
New York City. I love the way it says that. why don't you give us a little bit of information about this film?
You're good at that.
Thank you.
So it was made in 2004, directed by Raja Gosnell again. Of course, did the first one.
Nice.
It's written by James Gunn again. Of course, did the first one, as we discovered. It stars Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, Matthew Gillard, Linda Cardellini, Seth Green, a.k.a.
The sexy boy.
Chris Griffin. Peter Boyle, Tim Blake Nelson, Alyssa Silverstone, who isn't she like controversial or something? Anyway, Neil Fanning.
I can look it up. And Steve Buscemi. I just know that she's in like everything at that time.
I'm going to look it up.
Just, you know, one of those actresses that's
because
just
she's
all
your
around.
Favorite actress, I remember you saying.
Oh, no.
And, and finally, it's one for me to say that you're cancelled this time. Let me just look this up real quick.
I mean, Clueless star. I mean, this is Daily Mail. Most controversial beliefs. In a 2014 book, what controversially compared letting her baby sleep in a crib to child neglect? I don't think that's really like
what.
That's
God.
Although maybe she's an anti-vax by the looks of things.
She received media attention for uploading a video of herself feeding chewed food to her son from her own mouth.
Oh,
like a fucking
rough.
Baby bird. All right, maybe that was.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's and she's an anti-vaxxer. Well, maybe, yeah. But who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
But honestly, better than Chevy Chase still.
No. It had a budget of $80 million, which I think is
oh, same
double.
As the first one then, I think.
Oh, was
wasn't
it?
The first one? Didn't you say the first one was 80?
Yeah, maybe. And this made $181 million, which is still quite good, but I think this
it's,
had a bit
it's
of
still,
off.
Yeah, it's still yeah. still like at least would have broken them even.
Yeah, for sure. It's got 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. It's got 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, and only 34 Metal Crickets liked it. But
oh yeah, it's definitely a drop off from the first one. So the first one cost. So we said it cost like $84 million, like around that kind of mark.
Yeah,
but it made like this film made like $100 million less. It made 275 million on the other one. So.
That's not surprising.
It definitely didn't do as well, so that's probably why they were like, "Do was good."
I know that they were planning to make a third one.
Oh, really?
Because James Gunn said there was plans for a third film. And then just because this got like critically slammed, and also it just didn't make that much money, they were like, "Yeah, nah."
Well, I just don't understand. I mean, I guess like views and opinions and stuff change over time, right? And there are so many films where people are like, this is a cult film. Everybody loves this film like now. I mean, like think of Treasure Planet, where it was considered a flop at the time. And it was, kind of flop in the box office at the time because of they didn't really market it. And there's like a bunch of different reasons and stuff. And I think I've probably said this here before, but it is so many people consider it to be like the best Disney film or like of that like era.
Yeah, people
and
love
it's,
it,
and it's thought of
it.
Like so fun. Yeah, oh my god, yeah,
I knew you'd be like that. I knew you'd be like that,
bro.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Oh
it.
No, I tell you what. Next time you come around, that's what we're watching. I've got it on fucking. Disc boy.
We always do. Whenever I go to Deegs' house, we're always like, we do our Kingdom Hearts sesh, we do our recording, and then we're like, having Pappy John's. And then we're like, oh, we need something to watch. And it's like a 50-50 of whether we watch the SpongeBob movie again or just something else. Last time it was Stargate.
we always say, I mean, we could watch Pacific Rim. And
yeah,
is like,
yeah.
No. fucking great.
All right, cool. Write that down. Treasure Planet. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that next time. Anyway, point is, it does kind of surprise me when, like, watching this, especially with the first one as well, because the first one wasn't, like, really critically... I mean, we're reviewing it, so it wasn't critically, like... held high, but you watch those films now and you're like, this is fucking great.
Yeah,
and you just wonder, like, is it in a sense just ahead of its time? Because I feel like people now, so that was 2004, right? This one.
Yes 2004.
And you think about like that sort of era going through the 2000s and the internet and everything, and people kind of being edgy and stuff, and then it became like it kind of evolved and changed, whatever. And now we're in a time where everything's so like kind of meta funny, and like the stuff that people used to think was really cringy, unless it genuinely was just actually cringy. But like, I think people have kind of, I mean, humor, it just layers itself every time, right? It just becomes another layer on top of what came before it.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it's not like a
change in that way.
Humor's interesting when you, like, if you compare it to something like a fashion trend. So, like, fashion trends are, like, people say they're circular because fashion just comes in and again. And I mean, look at what people are wearing now, like, fucking flared jeans and mullets and shit, and it's like, yeah, 5 years ago that would have been,
we've seen
crime.
This one before.
Whereas, so it kind of like it chops and changes and it evolves into something else, whereas comedy almost like it doesn't just change, it like things come around like in fashion, but it doesn't just change, it builds on top of what it's already been. So
yeah,
like, you don't have that. And I guess you could make the argument for specific circumstances in fashion or something like that as well. But in general,
sure,
it's like rather than changing into something, it's like you said, it's layering.
It's kind
of
like evolves.
Yeah.
But
so
also
you have a joke
ways,
with the context of what humor was at the time.
Yeah. And it's like it kind of, it's like it evolves, but also in a lot of cases devolves.
Yeah. Which is the best way.
Yeah. I mean, you remember when this fucking big meme was just E?
Yeah.
And it was just the fucking Markiplier Farquaad face with E. And that was it. That was the joke. And you know what I mean? Like, humor is just one. Imagine showing that to somebody in 2004. They'd be like, what?
Well, that's not funny. It's just E.
Back then, it was all the fucking meme center, like the success kid and all this kind of shit.
It was,
you know?
Image flip.
Stuff now image that you'd be... Image flip, yeah, basically.
It's got stuff it's now gone that, from image flip to Inspirabot. That's how it's developed.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the film.
Yeah. Look, times are good.
So... It's good. I mean, last week we didn't go through the plot as in general. We just talked about it in general. And to be honest, like last week, I haven't got loads of notes. There are a few fucking plot holes or just Scooby-Doo being a smooth brain idiot. but in general, it's just a good time, man. I don't know what to say. We'll get to it at the end. We won't give our verdicts yet, but I'll be interested to see which one of these two films you like more.
I was thinking about this. Yeah.
We'll save it to the end. But apart from that,
sure,
they're both Scooby-Doo.
They're both,
I mean, what
yeah,
else
they're both
can
good.
You say?
They're both great.
Yeah.
Like, I think, it follows on from the first one with a lot of the same sort of like attitude and vibes and stuff. I think that you could kind of tell with this one that, you know, they had the stuff with the first one where they wanted it to be a bit more raunchy, a bit more adult, a bit more sort of,
it's meant to be like the,
you know,
yeah, PG-13 that, or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's meant to be a bit more rude. Whereas they obviously found their place with the first one where they were like, okay, no, we shipped it like this. This is how it is. So then the second one, they then sort of had that template to be like, all right, well, this is the levels that we're going to go with.
Yeah.
Like, there's not so much. You have a little bit of like, ooh, and stuff, but it's not kind of as much. It's not the same. So
it's
like
not quite the most, as sexy.
No, but you do have the sexy Velma moment.
Yeah, we do get sexy Velma, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. And even then, it's kind of a... it's a moment where she shows up and it's like, but then immediately it's like, I'm very awkward and this suit is so uncomfortable and stiff and I can't move in it and it's not me. And it kind of immediately kind of has this thing of like, you know,
this isn't.
You have the gag, and then you're like, yeah, this isn't right, kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? This isn't Velma that got possessed in the last one and then became sexy for a bit. If you remember, she just suddenly had more cleavage and like,
yeah,
kind of different hairstyle and whatever while she was possessed.
Yeah.
I guess those demons in the last film just
they knew you had to be what like, was sexy.
They knew what was. But I mean, anyway, I digress.
We just spent 3 hours talking about.
But see, sexy the thing Velma. About sexy Velma is she was quite sexy.
So one thing I did like about sexy Velma, though, is when she's talking to Seth Green, and he's like, "Hey, Lois, can you make me dinner?" Because he's fucking Chris Griffin, isn't he?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't watch Family Guy. Famously. I didn't even...
He's famously That's Chris wild. Griffin and Robot Chicken. That's his two things.
No way. I had no idea what he'd really done after this period of time where he was the heartthrob of like, the fucking 2000s. The 90s, the 2000s.
Was he? I didn't know he was a heartthrob.
No, I just mean, like, just you know, he's always the cool... He's always, like, the cool...
Quirky guy.
Kind of quirky guy that shows up and he's, like, short king energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean. But
he shows up and I'm like, oh, yeah.
But he's gone on a date and she's like, I think that's... At that point, he goes... He snaps or something. They go to his museum and it's been broken into. And he's like, get the fuck away from me. I'm stressed. And then like storms off. And then she's like,
oh, he doesn't like me.
And then she like rips off her. She like opens up the rubber leather one piece suit that she's wearing, and underneath she's still wearing her turtleneck sweater.
Yeah. she pulls the zip down and pulls the turtleneck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, she didn't get changed. They stay true. Put this over the top. Amazing. Yeah. No wonder why it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. But yeah, so sort of start if we get into it from the top.
Yeah.
I think this...
What? I just went, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say... Okay.
No, I didn't have a point to that.
This... Thank you, DaBaby. I think this one felt a bit more like... the first one felt like it had a stronger plot line of just kind of being like, they're all invited to an island. Island is creepy. Figure out the mystery. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whereas this one was a bit more kind of, they were back and forth to a couple of, I suppose it's not as, there's not as many like kind of central memorable places.
No, they it's go to all a bunch kind of different the same. Kind of,
it's like here and there, they're going across Coolsville to different places and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's.
It's more this about. Is kind of a, sorry, yeah. You go. I was just going to say, it's more, this one seems more about. The first one seems more about the adventure of them discovering the mystery, and this one seems more about what the mystery is. Like, it seems more like, okay, let's figure this out sort of thing, whereas the first one, you're kind of like, yeah, they're going to work it out. They just sort of stumble across the answer in the first one, I feel.
Yeah.
And it's all about the creepy sexiness.
Which kind of works because it's most of the answers they find are because of Scooby and Shaggy, who just tend to stumble upon the answers.
Like
they have a lot of figuring out stuff on their own as well, but yeah, they kind of have a bit of that.
Yeah.
So we have like a slight, well, there must be some sort of like small time jump, like a couple years or something.
I guess
The fucking mystery gang are like, even more world famous than they were before. Like this time, instead of, people I guess they were just like, yeah, I guess they were just like, all right, well, if we're going to be solving mysteries, we need to be fucking paid. Because they are rich. They step out of the fucking limo to this museum for the revealing of their, like, exhibit. And you already, by what they're wearing, you're like, these guys are fucking dressed up. They got money. which, I mean, again, I don't know if it's only certain interpretations of the lore of Scooby-Doo where, you know, most of them are just from rich backgrounds anyway.
We discussed that last week, didn't we?
Because we talked about it last week.
They're fucking minted anyway. But now they're even more mint.
I'm assuming that...
they've gone from new money to old money.
Yeah. I was going to say that... maybe in this sort of film universe, they'd just sort of been bumming around as friends, you know, in their little van and stuff, and then they made their own money big. You don't get the impression that they've got like inherited money, and that's how they've done this. You know?
Yeah,
I mean?
No.
It seems like the fame and their everything has got them this. Because when you see their fucking house, it's huge and it's super cool. Like their mystery fucking villa or whatever they've got.
It looks like Robert Downey Jr.'s house, like fucking weird textured with big windows and shit.
Like, yeah, and it has like all their different colors and stuff. It's like all sort of like color coordinated and things and whatever. It kind of gave off the vibe that they, I mean, absolutely, with you saying that they wanted to make a third one, that makes sense because it felt like they were kind of establishing this. Like, they could establish that as their little base, and then if they made, like, a TV show off the back of it, that would be their HQ that they would have every week and whatever, yeah, you know exactly. what I mean? It's that kind of a place. I love that kind of style, because I don't know when it's
such a 2000s thing. It reminds me of...
But it's such a 2000s thing, but a very 60s, like, style.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's
which
a
the
weird...
whole thing. I think the show is styled like that. Probably it probably came out around that time anyway.
Yeah, it's a weird amalgamation of 2060s style. It's really cool. I like it. I'm into it. I do like that the start of this is like you say they're coming out onto a red carpet. They all have their own individual fan base, which does raise questions, which we'll get into. Velma's got her like nerdy geeky fans and she's like geeking out that she's got fans. It's funny.
And then one of them is literally like
like
you're like whoa,
sniffing the book that she signed, like
yeah.
I'm never gonna watch this book.
1971, by the way, first Scooby-Doo was like first came out.
Really? I thought it would have been older than that. I don't know why. Just thought.
Yeah.
Fucking Shaggy, his fans, he literally sniffs them out because they stink of weed. Like,
yeah.
He's like, hey!
Yeah,
it's just like
they don't play into it as much as
not as much as last
film,
night.
But they do have a little bit like that. Yeah,
it's good
he's
stuff.
Just like, I know that smell.
I know that strain.
That's my people.
Hey, purple haze, nice.
But yeah, and then one thing I wanted to point out: so Scooby has a bunch of dogs that are there,
right?
I guess are
this
just people's
is
dogs that
the
they brought with them.
Issue
who. Communicate to him by like barking,
which raises the question, right? Of this fucking blows the mystery out of proportion. The mystery of is Scooby-Doo just a general dog and all dogs talk, or is Scooby-Doo like a mystical being and no one seems fussed because he's talking to dogs. They're just dogs.
Yeah.
He's barking to them. He can understand them. They can converse. But they're just dogs. So, like, no one's bothered, which then again raises the question. And they do this again in this film as well. But back to the first film, when he got on the plane, they would have known it was Scooby-Doo because he's a talking dog. Just like, okay, so later on in this film, they're doing some, Shaggy and Scooby are like, oh, we feel bad about ourselves, so let's go do some, you know, mystery hunting ourselves. And they dress up, they find like a bar of like old villains or something.
Yeah, so they, well, that's sort of skipping.
Well, I just wanted to say the, yeah,
oh sorry, yeah, yeah, okay, like, yeah, it's a kind of meet up of all the people that they'd previously put in jail for dressing up as some sort of villain and, yeah, and, you know, harassing a town or something.
Which is, like, vague. As I'm sure, like, there's different stages to how many crimes these people have committed. But it is a bit, yeah, of a meme of, like, oh, I was just dressing up as a ghost to promote my amusement park. And they're like, don't care, you're in jail now. But So they go to this bar and they're like, oh, we better get disguised. So Shaggy's just in a big pimp hat and fucking, yeah, Scooby's...
he's got a gold tooth.
Yeah, and then Scooby's like... yeah, he's just like Disco Scooby with a big afro.
Yeah.
But again, he's a fucking talking dog. Like, what, people would be, yeah, like... because we've established now that he's an anomaly. He's just a talking dog. There are clearly just normal dogs in this universe. So they'll be like, well, that's Scooby. And that's Shaggy, yeah, in a pimp hat.
Like, yeah, but that's the point. It's funny.
Yeah, but just... how do they not know?
Well, I think you'll find that they solve that issue by having one of the bad guys... one of the, like, ex-bad guys in this bar... say, oh, you and your brother with the unfortunate, like, hideous nose deformity or something, talking about the fact that he's got a snout.
Yeah.
And you're like, he thinks he's not, he doesn't think he's a dog. I mean, dude, there's a bit when they're doing the dance sequence and then, like, they do a move and then Scooby literally flicks his afro off his head and then back on again. Like, it goes up in the air and spins and then goes back on his head. And they're all dancing and nobody questions it. So.
Nobody's like, damn, that guy's got moves. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. But even then, when Shaggy's talking to the guy that says about, like, his, you know, brother with the nose, whatever. When he's talking to the guy who used to be... he was the one who was the original... it wasn't Vulture, it was the other one. Was it the Black Knight? Yeah, he was the one that was the original Black Knight.
Yeah.
Their first, like, kind of debunked ghost or whatever. And there's a bit where the guy says to him something about, like, you know, you kind of regret what you've... like, you don't follow me down this path, you know, you'll regret what you've done, and it's not all it's cracked up to be, and all this kind of thing. And then Shaggy's like, oh, bet you're glad that you got busted by the mystery gang then, huh? And then slightly takes his hat off and the golden tooth out to be like, hey, look, it's me, it's Shaggy. And the guy still doesn't recognize him, and he's like, no, I would crush the fucking mystery gang if I found them and whatever. So it's like, you know. Ah, it's all, yeah, it's just a bit of fun. Stupid. Yeah, God,
stupid. Just a bit of fun. So, yeah, they go to this museum. It's a grand opening of all their, like, it's the costumes.
Some of their
the
most,
yeah.
Yeah, some of the most iconic saves that they've had, which isn't really the case for, like, ones that we would know, I think. Like, the most famous one that I would have even known there would have been, like, the Black Knight. The rest of them, I'm like, I don't really know much.
I don't really remember any of them, to be fair. Like, I know, yeah. I remember watching Scooby-Doo as a kid and liking it, but I don't remember really much about the criminals or whatever. But yeah, I do know that they're all references to, like, yeah.
Actual ones.
So they're all on exhibit. And then, suddenly... Ooh, the pterodactyl one turns into, like, a real-life pterodactyl. Because you're like, it does a close-up of all of, like, the memorable villains and stuff, and you're like, these look a bit shit. And then the pterodactyl just looks like a real-life pterodactyl. And you're like, fuck me, that's a good costume. And then it breaks out of the glass. You're like, oh no, it's a real pterodactyl. I see. Which again,
it's now glowing green.
Yeah, and you're like, why didn't they notice that? But when they put the exhibit in, like, surely they would have been like, that's not what it looked like. It looked way worse than that. but anyway, so they kind of capture it, and then Shaggy and Scooby fuck it up because they're smooth brain idiots. Or they just smoke too much weed, and it's just. Rotted their braids so much they have no clue what's going on.
Pretty much.
And it escapes. Because also then the Black Knight and some of the other ones turn into real ghosts as well or something. He nicks the costume, sorry.
Yeah, so what happens at the time is that the pterodactyl's flying around. It's got ropes tied to it from Shaggy and Scooby where they were trying to capture it, and then Daphne, who, again, I love that they're like, Daphne's not just going to be standing around going, oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I'm just a pretty face. She's fucking kung fu martial arts, fucking sword fighting and shit.
Yeah, so, I kind of like, it seems like they've kind of kept on, they've kept their character progressions from the last film, which is quite nice.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because she like, whips out a fucking sword from somewhere and chops the rope so that Shaggy and Scooby won't get dragged off. And then the pterodactyl picks up, like, the Black Knight's armor and I think the electric one, the electric ghost or whatever. They call them the 10,000 volt
ghost or something. Ghost,
yeah. Yeah. And flies off with them. And as it's doing that, you get this new masked villain who looks kind of like, I don't know, Saw meets Seth Green. It looks like his spiky hair.
Yeah.
I guess as a mislead, but we'll get to that. But yeah, so he grabs onto the rope and kind of flies away.
Yeah.
And he's like, I did this to show you that you're shit, Mystery Inc. Ha ha. And then I'll get you soon. And then it flies away. So there's a few things that I remembered about this film from having watched it when I was younger. One of them was the fact that the news kind of network that was getting them for interviews manipulated the stuff that they said.
I remembered that.
And took them out of context. Yeah. So like where they then talk to the news guys and then it kind of cuts to them later back at the fucking Mystery Inc. fucking villa in the south of Spain or wherever the fuck it is. It cuts to them looking at the news stuff later, and you see that they've taken what they're like, let's see what they have to say about it. And then Fred is like,
I hate
this town can suck it. Yeah. Fuck you. You know, they've just got like completely out of context quotes from him.
Yeah.
To make it seem like he doesn't, you know, that they're whatever. They're like framing them to say bad shit. And they're like, come on, man. I didn't even say that.
Yeah. And Scooby's like, I fucking did. I raped this round.
Fuck I'll you. Do it again.
Yeah.
I'll fucking murder everyone. I'll fucking do it. Ruby, ruby, roo.
But yeah, so. Obviously, you know, we sort of, that's it. We've got the mystery for them to solve. You've got this masked guy and whatever. Like you said, we've been introduced to Seth Green, who...
who's a bit sus. Like, the whole film...
Yeah, the whole
film... it's very film? It's very sus.
Oh.
Yeah. He's like... And I'll make the point now. Spoilers for this film, I guess. They do a double bluff because you're like so certain it's him because he's so fucking sus the whole time. He's in places that is just too convenient for him to show up.
He's just there for some reason.
Yeah, he's like shouting at random people, like goons at one point, and Shaggy and Scooby are like, oh my god, that's Seth Green, he's clearly the villain. And he's like, oh haha, I'm just stressed, don't worry about that, ignore everything you just saw. And
and then it also being weird, like super weird to them, like, because he's like, oh, I'm just doing the tough guy act. And then he starts, like, shouting at them, be like, ah,
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah,
my God. And he's like, ah, I'm just kidding with you. Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's unhinged.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm just kidding with you. Wink to the camera. And then it turns out at the end that he was innocent. He wasn't involved. And I was like, no fucking way. Absolutely not. Because I couldn't really remember. And when the reveal happened, I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. And then they're like, Andy had an accomplice. And I was like, well, yeah, it was Seth Green. And it turns out not to be him either.
And the camera points at him until they point next to him. And it's somebody else.
I was like, nah, that's some Nolan-esque twist. It's just fucking bullshit.
That's the thing, because if they did have a third film planned, I wonder whether...
Oh, maybe it was going to be...
It was like an early setup that maybe he was going to be something further.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if you're going to get Seth Green in, like, you could... that feels like something that you could set up for him to be a bad guy and return. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. I feel like... I don't know. I don't know if we're giving it too much credit, but yeah, I really do feel...
Give it all the credit.
I feel like, yeah, that maybe that was the plan, because it's just too much for him to be... It's almost like Davin from fucking Third Eye, where they're like, he was a ghost the whole time. And you're like, no, he wasn't. You're just saying that, and you cheated. That's not how a twist works. It felt the same.
Oh, man. Bring it back to that. Hell. They just reshoot and change the details of the first fucking scene. They're like, oh, that actually, he was... she was just behind, and the waiter was waving to this person. You're like, no.
No.
I watched that first. Yeah. What happened? You reshot it in a different way, twat.
So good.
He's hella sus, but...
He's hella sus, but it's not him. They're doing the mystery.
And that's kind of his entire role, really.
Just being sus, yeah.
To be sus, and then to be sort of...
To be sus with the Riz.
Yeah. Exactly. Because he fucking shows up. Velma is head over heels with this guy. And he kind of serves for, like, her... kind of personal arc of you know, being more confident in who she is and worrying, you know, not worrying about being like boring or trusting her heart and all this kind of stuff. Because you do the classic, you know, they're at the museum before kind of shit hits the fan, and she sees Seth Green walking towards her, and time slows, and she's just like, and he's like, you know, bounce, bounce, and he's walking forwards. And then very, very James Gunn, he like trips and falls in slow motion. Yeah. And then he gets up. We've seen him do that in so many, like it was in Guardians. Yeah. It's in like all sorts of shit. So he's done it before. But So he was very sus throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. They just fucking, they're just working out who it is. There's some misdirects. There's a funny bit which I do like. There's the subplot of this is that Shaggy and Scooby are like, we don't know what place we have in this team. Like we suck.
We're just the fuck ups.
Yeah, and I was like, yes, I agree, because they are fucking stupid. Like, but there was one bit where it's when they've had this conversation and they're like, we're gonna solve this clue, Scoobs, and then Scooby-Doo's like, yeah. Shaggy's just like nodding along to what Velma's saying. He just doesn't understand. He's like,
yes, and what is your conclusion, Scooby-Doo?
And then he's just drawn a picture of a rabbit. He holds it up. He goes, Bunny. And I was like, good stuff. I like that.
And there's so many things that, like, again, it just triggers that part of my brain once I'd seen it that I'm like, fuck, I remember that line.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that thing. Like, because we used to watch these films, like, quite a few times. And just things like that where he's like, Bunny. And I'm like, I fucking remember that. The bunny.
Like,
I mean, they go to the big mansion.
Yeah.
To try, you know, they're putting two and twos together. And so they're following the clues. They go to a big mansion where they encounter the Black Knight, and they have like a little fight around the mansion with him.
Yeah.
A little punch up. And again, I like that kind of, you know, Shaggy and Scooby first see the Black Knight, and then they run through some doors and they close it behind them, and then they start piling stuff up so that he won't be able to push his way through, barricading the doors and stuff. And then you just see like a little secret fucking door slide open in the room that they're in. Yeah. And the Black Knight starts like helping them barricade the door. Yeah. And I love that shit. Like, it's so Scooby-Doo.
That's so on brand.
100%. Yeah. And it's just so good. But again, they didn't do the hallway thing.
Yeah. I was surprised.
If at any point, not at any point. How do you phrase it?
Like,
if they were ever going to do it,
yeah,
they should have done it in that mansion.
Yeah, 100%. I was waiting for it. But it just never comes.
Yeah, and then they work out that his weak points, in his groin,
balls,
in his Black Knight balls, and then and then when they kick him in the nuts, Eddie goes, "Ooh, right in the round tables." I was like,
"Good nice. Stuff."
There's some good quotes at us. There was like earlier when Velma kind of chickens out after Seth Green's character.
He's pulling out sort of the
riz. He's like fucking slaps her with the riz, absolute fucking rizzler, and like asks, or kind of says he likes her, or asks her out, something like that. Yeah. And then she's like, "Mystery is my mistress, and I must heed her sweet call."
Yeah. And at that point, he was like, "You know what? don't worry about it. I'm good."
He was like, "This kind of works for me." also,
"Mystery is my mistress, and I must heed her sweet call."
Just so good.
Also, that creepy mansion that they go to, again, something I always remembered about this film, they pull the doorbell, which is just this big fucking, like, as if you're pulling an actual bell in a cathedral or something, like, you good pull stuff, the thing down, tassel down, and it opens up a trap door, and they fall into it, and they go down this ridiculous, like, it's so out of pocket, like, they just fall into this massive ball cage.
It was like something down this massive ride.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just underneath this mansion, I guess. And then it's like, oh, you have to wait until the owner of the house is back, and he'll let you out.
Yeah.
And then they look, and then there's like Jehovah's Witnesses in another ball, and a fucking single Girl Scout with a box of cookies.
That was a good gag.
In another ball, which was a good gag. But then I'm like, okay, so he's kidnapped a little girl whose parents don't know where she is. How, like, she's clearly been there, assuming that he comes home every day. She's been there for some amount of hours, for one. Also, when they free everyone and they leave, she's like, because she says about, like, you know, do you want to buy any cookies? And then once they free themselves, and then we see them all leaving, including, like, the girl and stuff, she's walking off with a fucking wad in her hand of money, and she's counting, and she counts to 80. And I was like, bro, they just gave that fucking little Girl Scout $80
at least. They're minted.
They are minted.
They probably didn't even buy any cookies. They were just like, yeah, fucking have some money. We're swimming in it.
They were like, yeah, that one box for 80. I'll do it.
But yeah, so yeah. They do some clues. Shaggy and Scooby do their own thing. And this is them just being fucking... If Shaggy and Scooby were out of the team, this film would have ended half an hour sooner. Because...
The only way it would have ended sooner would have been all of them dying, because Shaggy and Scooby goddamn solved this save the day.
No, they don't. Just hinder. Mm-hmm. Because Shaggy and Scooby, they're exploring. Yeah. They find some fucking potions, which they just drink. And I was like,
love this.
You guys are so fucking lucky. You just drank some bleach. Like, they see something in a fridge and they just eat it, regardless of what it is.
To be fair, it was Scooby who first drank it, and he is a dog, so he was just like, ooh.
Yeah, but
then...
turn
into a weird alien.
And then Shaggy's like, I'll drink it.
He gave a potion to Scooby, and then he, like, for some reason decided to lick the goo off his hand and was like, oh, what's this?
And then that's what changes him.
Yeah. And so they start, like, drinking things. Yeah. I fucking love this bit. Ripped Shaggy was such a big meme.
A classic.
It's so good. Like, again, Matthew Lillard just fucking steals it. He's so good. And the rip thing looks so good as well. And he's just like,
it looks so
I'm good. Fucking buff, dude, yes!
What I don't like the Matthew Lillard's head on a woman's body, though. Because it was so
Uncanny
horrible.
Valley.
It's so
badly done, yeah.
Like, fucking Shaggy and Scooby, literally... So he's made, what, like, 3 monsters so far, this guy? They go to the thing, control panel, let's press the buttons and do a rap. They literally make, like, half of the fucking villains in this film. They
Including
created
one
them.
Of the two worst ones.
Yeah!
One of the two most dangerous ones, which is the tar monster.
The tar monster and then the fucking electrical guy. All the others, they're fine. Like, Velma... What's the other one? Louise? Velma and Louise.
For fuck's sake. Didn't you do this last week?
Probably.
Daphne.
Daphne, Velma, and fucking Fred could easily sort this shit out without Scooby or Shaggy. And yes, they help out when they're throwing the frisbee about to put it on the console to stop
the
ghost.
Yeah, but they found the secret
and
lab.
And they found
and
it
they
by
did.
Accident. Yeah, whatever. But Velma is like the smartest person in the universe in this in this fucking thing. She would have worked it out. Like, I have no doubt that she would have worked it out.
Mystery
Daphne would have done some flips and kicked some ass, and Fred would have said some motivational shit, and they would have got shit done.
Yeah.
And those smooth brain idiots just fucking fucked it all up.
Yeah, and it's fucking great. That's what we love to see.
Good. It is good.
But talking about the monsters, though, like you said, there are most of them are very, like... You know, you've got Minor 49er, who he breathes some fire, but he's a bit shit. You got these two skeletons, which are kind of like comedy relief monsters.
Yeah,
like they're really dumb and they keep bashing each other's heads, and they're not very good. And then you've got this other weird—I can't remember what they called him—but he's just like this he's not like a zombie. He's kind of like a ghoulish looking dude who just vomits on people and does weird shit, drives massive tankers for some reason. So you've got a bunch of those where you're like, you know, whatever. And then you have the fucking tar monster, which is genuinely terrifying. He looks like Bob from Monsters vs. Aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's genuinely fucking... And he has, like, evil... The other ones will be like... or whatever, and they're puppet-looking people or prosthetics, whatever, and they're just kind of like... Whereas this fucking CG tar monster genuinely is terrifying and, like, has this malicious intent, like, he wants to drown and eat you. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's fucking awful, and he's so fucking OP. Like, he can just spread out everywhere and create anything he wants out of his body. And
yeah,
shit.
He's causing havoc in the city at one point, and you see him like going into a guy's car, and then like it cuts away, but he's going into this guy's mouth to suffocate him from the inside. It's dark shit, man. It's James Gunn. It's all James Gunn.
True. Yeah. That's true. But yeah, not just him. It's him, and it's the 10,000 volt ghost. Like, this, it's fucking crazy. It would literally just fry you alive. Like, it's like a better version of Electro from the Spider-Man things, right? Because he's just fucking crazy,
and he's massive as well.
He's massive. He's just a ball of living fucking energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we always thought his name was... I always thought that they called him Sparky, literally because of the one line where Daphne says, "You go, I'll deal with Sparky." And I think when we were younger, I remember me and my brother and our friends, we were like really young. We would play... these games where we pretend that we're fighting off the monsters from that film, and we would always call one of them Sparky because that's what she called it instead of 10,000 fucking volt monster or whatever.
But it's but she's actually doing co-signals to her now husband, Fred.
yeah. but
Fred,
yeah,
Prince
so
Jr.
Freddie, good old Freddie Prince Jr. Who, by the way, looks fucking sick on that motorbike. He's less Ken in this one, I think.
Yeah, and still... more just fucking hot.
yeah. But he's still got like the... He's jousting on a motorbike and shit. Like, he's not as useless as he's kind of portrayed in the first one. Because he is generally portrayed to be quite useless. Because everybody kind of has their like role, you know... Scooby is the title character. Shaggy is his best friend, and they always sort of end up being the ones to kind of save the day in the end.
By accident, yeah.
By accident or by, you know, the power
Fred
of friendship.
Fred is the brave one. Like, that's his thing.
Well, I suppose we do... There's a number of times where he'll be like, oh, here's the plan, and he kind of comes up with the plan and stuff. But the plans never work. But that's just like the show, so it's fine.
There's not much else to it, really. They kind of save the day, and
they discover that the monsters are all being made, and they take the big control panel. It's kind of like a MacGuffin-y thing where they take the fucking control panel off the machine, and then the masked bad guy's like, "Get them! They could ruin everything with that control panel." And then they go off and figure out, "Oh, we could beep boop this control panel and reverse it and make all the monsters disintegrate. Cool, let's do that." And it's a bit like, "All right, it's dumb, silly science stuff. Who cares?"
Yeah. And they get they sort out the monsters.
Oh wait! Before the monsters get sorted out, before they do the shitty sciencey silly bit, they see a news broadcast where they're talking about how everything's being overrun by these monsters and stuff, and the monsters are terrorizing the town, right? And it's in the news studio with the same lady that was talking to them before, who was like talking to Fred and making him look bad and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She's like sat at the news desk and she's talking to the camera, and then something clearly like happens behind the camera, like kind of off of the set. And then it cuts to like the actual location, and we see the Black Knight breaks onto the set of the newsroom and then just says, "Sorry, you're cancelled."
Oh yeah. I remember and I was thinking, like, oh shit, she said the N-word.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit. They're fucking cancelling people back in 2004. This film is ahead of its time.
She was the first one.
But
yeah, so they do the thing. They get the MacGuffin. They reverse the monsters. And all's well that ends
well.
You
have a fucking cool Scooby's skating around on a, you know, all hope seems lost. They need to put the control in and stuff. And again, literally, all the other monsters are just stood there like, well, my job's easy. And the fucking tar monster has everybody tied down, suffocating everybody. Genuinely fucking terrifying.
Imagine how easy this task would have been if Scooby and Shaggy didn't make the fucking tar monster.
Yeah, but it's fun, though. Scooby wouldn't have been able to surf. Because then Scooby takes the fire extinguisher off the wall and then starts like freezing the parts of the tar monster.
Yeah.
And he just starts fucking like tearing up these tar waves, and he's like surfing along, freezing everything like he's Frozone. But again, it is kind of scary because the tar monster is then like his hands coming up out of the ground to grab Scooby, and then it gets frozen and he goes in between the fingers and all this kind of stuff. But I love the shot where Scooby's going, it's kind of like a loop-the-loop thing, and he's going round and round and round, but the camera is like locked onto Scooby going round.
No, so that
like,
made me feel dizzy.
Oh, no, I love, well, it was just like a fun, interesting shot, and I loved it. Yeah. And then you see him kind of come out the other end of it and whatever, and he kind of beats him that way. And then you have the classic thing where the mask guy is like, no, who do you think you are? You can't do this to me. And then Scooby goes, he's like, who do you think you are? And Scooby goes, Scooby, Dooby, Doo. you're like, yeah! There's one other monster we're forgetting, and it was my favorite moment. Because there's a bit where Shaggy and Scooby, they have this control panel. It's before the tar monster and stuff get them, you know, they're trying to run off and solve it themselves. And they come across a monster after they lock themselves in this room who is like towering over them. And he's like, good job. You locked put all those locks on the doors. Now you're stuck in here with me. And it's a giant monster, literally made of candy floss. And there's, the reaction that they both have is so fucking funny, because he says all of this and he calls himself like the candy cane something, or not candy cane, the like candy floss monster or something, whatever he says. Yeah. And where they repeat his name slowly and look at each other, and then Scooby goes and in literally, I want to take that scene and put the Doom fucking music over it, because they look at him and it's like, bow, 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 bada, bow, bow, bow. And he's like, what are you looking at me like that? And they just fucking jump on him and eat the entirety of this giant monster. And he's like, why are you tearing me apart? And it just cuts to them like coming down the elevator with fucking candy floss all over them. I was like, yes, brilliant. Oh. I just heard the Doom music in my head.
But yeah, so they save the day, and then we get the thing at the end where they've captured the evil bloke,
the masked man,
and they're like, well, we sure had a blast, but now it's time to figure out who the evil ghost was. And then Velma's like, well, of course it was none other than And then she rips her head off. And it's like the fucking news presenter. And I was like...
Yeah. Who was accused earlier by Daphne, and then the masked man then showed up on the roof.
Yeah.
So then
yeah,
she was like, oh, so it can't be her.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, well, it's definitely Seth Green then. and yeah, so she's like, it's the news presenter, and her accomplice, the cameraman, was on the roof that time. And then you're like, okay, fine. And then she's like, but she's wearing a second mask. And you're like, why? and she rips off this, like, again, it's just fucking, what's her face? What's her fucking name? God damn it. Alicia Silverstone. So,
yeah,
like, it's not a rubber mask of Alicia Silverstone. It is just her. So this yeah. is the greatest mask ever created. It's so oh, yeah. realistic. And then she's like, but this one's a mask. It's actually some old guy. and it's,
no,
it's the
yeah.
the original
pterodactyl
man who escaped from prison and you thought had died because they do a flashback or whatever. And they're like, well, it can't be him. And it's funny because I thought, because I didn't really remember who the
yeah same. I thought it was Seth Green as well, which is funny.
Well, so it's Tim Blake Nelson who looks like Seth Green. So I was like, oh, it must be that Tim Blake Nelson was Seth Green's dad. And so
which
Seth
they
Green's
set up.
Get yeah, and so
because
Seth,
they have yes. they have like a they have him with what looks like might be his grandson or somebody he'd kind of raised, which is like this young ginger kid.
Yes, and it's like a shrine to him, and then Seth Green just fucking pops up, and you're like, how and why are you here? Like,
yeah,
what other reason could you possibly be in this fucking weird shrine? And then Velma's like, well, it's fucking you then, isn't it? And he's like, no, I was just trying to solve the mystery, the same as you. And she's like, you fucking hired us to do this, cunt. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
just sus, I don't believe him. But yeah, it turns out to be Tim Blake Nelson, and you get a funny... guy, you get a funny line, which is like, his accomplice, the cameraman, is like, you're a dude, but we cuddled. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
But also, it's one of those things where, like, you see her in, like, a dress at one point.
Yeah.
Which had no, like, room or, like, it was, like, bare shoulders, just, like a strap dress. So it's just, like, there's no room for... it to be, an entire person body suit? Like...
Tim Blake Nelson is the king of drag. Clearly. Like,
yeah.
He's just incredible at it. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
I was trying to look up to see whether... I thought for a second. So I was trying to look it up to see about, like, what other people had said about this... like, to do with Seth Green and the red herring and all this kind of stuff. And then there was one that said there is an alternate ending where Seth Green's character is the son of Dr. Jacob Jacobo and the one responsible for all the crimes. But when I open it, he's saying, I remember it being this way, right? And then everyone like, no, that didn't happen. It's like Mandela effect. you're literally... Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, I remembered it being that way, but that's just because I hadn't seen it in fucking ages. Like, and that it would make the most sense that it was fucking Seth Green all along. But hey, but yeah.
Apparently, one of the reasons that the third film didn't happen... Matthew Lillard said that he walked away from a potential third film because the producers wouldn't match his salary to that of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s.
Oh, wow.
And somebody was saying, like, apparently he's talked about it on, like, a podcast and stuff before.
Wait, but why?
He sort of said about the fact that his kind of career, he said, he specifically mentions that his career took that huge dip because he sort of, it's paraphrased, but he was sort of expecting to get treated like a A-list star in Hollywood when he was a B-list, and then that made him a D-list.
Yeah, right, okay.
And sort of, yeah, I guess it was that kind of thing where he was like, well, I'm just as much... Like, he's realistically in the fucking Scooby-Doo and in this second film, he is a much bigger character than Fred is.
Yeah, and
he's much more titular.
And it's fucking... He's great in this, but I understand we're looking at it now. Freddie Prinze Jr. Sure. at the time in the 2000s was like one of the biggest stars.
Right.
So like it, with the context that we have now, then yeah, of course, like it's absolutely fucking wild that they would pay him the same as Freddie Prinze Jr. But I think at the time, it's like Terrence Howard being like, give me the same as Robert Downey Jr. And they're like, no. Anyway.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's about everything.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. As always, if you want to help out the show, give us a 5-star review. I've noticed that people have given us reviews. There's like 2 or 3 on Spotify.
Oh,
but
really?
I can't see them. I don't know how I can view them. So
we're like, go and review us and do all this stuff. Can't read them.
Yeah.
Can't read them. Won't read them.
It won't how read them.
Let me pull it up. Do you know what? Let me have a look on my own Spotify. Let's go. How the fuck do I find it on here? Right, podcast shows, bad from good. So this.
But yeah,
while
you're doing that,
while I'm having a look,
we're of course on X and we're on
fucking
TikTok
X videos,
and it's Instagram or whatever. Where we put up little clips of the shows, do funny memes and stuff. But as always, we will leave you with an inspirational quote from Inspirobot or Image Flip. I fucked that up, but it doesn't matter. Because it is AI Wars, baby.
Hey.
I went first last week, so it's your turn this time.
All right. Let me just... I was trying to... Will this not take me to the... The fuck? It's so weird.
This all counts.
It's like, this all. Oh no, this all counts.
Got to have it
right,
ready
to go. I'll have a look at mine quick. So, all right. So I've got what looks to be like a sort of puddly kind of. I was about to say rainy floor. Don't know if that's really the right. It's outside. It's the ground that's like covered in a layer of water, like it's been heavy rain, and the water's kind of rippling in different places, like. The rain has like died down and it's kind of very light rain now, but you've got all these reflections coming off the water, gives you the impression that it's like a vibrant street. You've got reds and purples and greens, all sorts of stuff. You know, you can only kind of imagine what kind of nightlife is going on in the background. And with every part of the sentence, because it's kind of like a couple of words and then a couple of words under it, a couple of words under it, all of them are underlined apart from the last word. And it just says, growing old is like getting fucked by your father.
Fucking hell.
Woof. All right.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, mine is, it's the grandma looking at the computer meme, like she's holding her glasses up to the computer and stuff.
Okay.
Do you know the one? It just says grandma's found the internet.
Oh, okay, sure.
I don't know if that means anything, but it's basically just a grandma looking confused at a laptop.
Yeah.
And it just says, you talking to me, cunt?
Oh, shit, grandma. I'm sorry, dude. She's fucking mad.
You talking to me, cunt?
But in her voice, like,
you're talking to me, cut.
You're talking to me, cut.
It's so, it's funny as well, because it's like, it's top text, bottom text, and it's like, top text, you talking to me, question mark, and then it's, cunt.
Oh, shit.
Let me try to send this to you. I can't, Discord won't let me send it for some reason. I can't copy and paste the image. Anyway, thanks for listening. No, no, wait. Who wins? Me. Grandma's gonna
yeah,
win.
That the grandma was good. I gotta say, the grandma caught me off guard. Yeah. I reckon.
Good old so, grandma. All good right, old bloody 15-14, catching up again.
Nah.
but yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah,
and as always, we'll leave you with our with our
the fucking outro.
Outro. Nah, I'm so not gonna do
every...
it. I'm not gonna do it. I did it last episode.
You did it last episode.
I can't do it again
because it makes sense. I was gonna say you're just gonna have it with Scooby Doo. Yeah, every fucking
yeah. It works. Maybe I will throw it in one more time. Yeah. All right. Enjoy the outro.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week with Scooby-Doo.
Christ, it's just cutting out on Discord for me.
Scooby-Doo next week on Bad Feel Good. Thanks for listening.
Bone Stripper.